things like the, you know, Herbert W. Armstrong movement. That's one other one I know a little bit about. They're kind of similar, you know, and then all the identity movements, they're definitely into those endless genealogies, which minister questions, and fables, serpent seed doctrine. Anyone who believes in that, you're into a fable, not according to the word of God. See, they I don't know if I mentioned this because I got the I was recording and it got kind of stuck up, but they tell you what you read in Genesis is a fable. When their doctrine is a fable. Vain jangling. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they are from. They don't even know what the law is about. See, you know, I've already taught the law. I know what the law is. God has taught me. I don't know where else I learned it. It's from this word that I learned what the law is and what it does. The law is not, well, we're about to learn. Paul's going to say it very clear. Let's just go right into that. But we know, verse 8, the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for lawless and disobedient and ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Did you hear that? Listen. Law is not made for a righteous man, like Jesus Christ. The law wasn't made for him. He was a righteous man. And I'm supposed to become, by his power, and he already looks at me like this because he's, because of faith and because of, well, he chose me before. If I am going to be saved, it's because God, before I was even born, already decided that. And he chose me before I was even in the mother's womb, which is where I began, in my mother's womb. That's where all souls are, have their genesis. As far as any time in the scripture when it talks about the earliest point in someone's life, they're in the womb. Now God can know us before then because he knows all things and he knows what he's going to do and he has purposes, but it doesn't mean I knew him. I didn't know God till he revealed himself to me. I don't know him from some former age. I'm referring back to teaching of my false teachers. But anyways, I don't want to get off the track. And I already did, but the law, okay? I am to become, in Christianity, made like unto the image of Christ. I'm supposed to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ has to be born in me. It says, he that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. That seed is the seed that was promised to Abraham, which is Christ. Christ remains in me and continues to grow to the point where he takes over everything and I am as he is, as he was and shall be. I don't know exactly the order of that, but you know, I mean, I'm going to become like him and righteousness is going to flourish. This is the promises of the New Testament. Unless you believe this, you can't receive it. I mean, well, I have to believe it. I have to preach it. Otherwise, and this is how I profit you, is because I'm going to teach you the things. If you have faith in them, you will obtain the things of God. And I'm going to dispense by my words and by the promises of God, I dispense to you grace and minister grace. And I minister righteousness and the things of God. And these are the things that profit you. Not vain jangling. Not fables and endless genealogies and doctrines that don't profit you in God. They don't make you like Christ. They don't make you righteous. They don't make you godly. In fact, those ministers always teach you, you can't be perfect. You can't be righteous. You can't be godly. And if you can't be righteous, you can't be godly, then the law is for you. Because you are lawless, disobedient, ungodly, a sinner, unholy, profane, a murderer, manslayer, whoremonger, homosexual, enslaver, a liar, perjured person. And I don't care, you know, you say, well, I'm not a homosexual. Yeah, you are. Because you're just like one. You know, that's the thing, is these Christians, they don't believe in perfection. And then they come down on homosexuals like they're special or something. Yeah, I know God destroyed a city. But there was a lot more going on in that city besides sodomy. Like it says, this was the sin of Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Sounds like America. And when they're filled with that, then all kinds of other ungodliness starts coming in. Yeah, homosexuality, but there's a lot more to that. I see a lot of fat people. That's pretty sensual. A lot of people stuffing their faces. Is it any different to stuff your face with food than to stuff your face with another man? Is there really much difference in that? I don't think so. That's not even listed here. But I'll tell you what, righteousness is about temperance. I guess I use that because that's one of the, you know, there's a lot of fat people running around in church judging people who are, of that sin. And I, you know, why do I, I don't defend that. It's, you know, but it's so easy to pick on big sins. And it's been done for so long that I look at the way Jesus was. You know, it's like a woman caught in adultery. He forgave her. Go and sin no more. Okay? He also told her, go and sin no more. Don't forget that. You look at the way Jesus treated. It's like the ones the religious hypocrites were coming down on, Jesus forgave. But he held the sins up against those who were the hypocrites. And their false doctrine and their heresies. And I hold it up against orthodoxy and all the false doctrine within it. And all the ungodliness they promote. And all the wickedness done in the name of Christ. In all the churches in America and in other nations and all the world. And blaspheming the name of Jesus. And they dare come down on these poor wretches caught in up in all kinds of sin. Many of them not even willing. That's the thing, is like they say, it's a choice. According to the Bible, I don't think any sin is a choice. It says, that which I would not, that I... Now, some people do choose because they love the sin, and then so they agree with it. But it doesn't still doesn't mean it's a choice. Just because you love what you do doesn't mean it's a choice. Like, I love my wife. But I know it. I didn't choose to love her. I loved her. I'm compelled to love her because... Not because of, like, I don't want to, but I'm compelled to. No. I'm compelled to, and I want to. Okay? That's what makes it powerful, because I not only love it, I'm compelled to do it by love, because she's just the kind of person I have to love. You know what I mean? She's just that kind of person. I love her. I love her with a powerful love. It's not a choice. Now, Paul said in Romans 7, I guess I got to go here a little bit. I've been led to. You know, he says, the good that I would do, I do not. This is all talking about what it's like to live under the law. You need to study Romans chapter 7. If you haven't studied with me already, you need to do it immediately. You're going to be in over your head, and you're going to not understand. But, you know, hey,